What's up, guys? Welcome to the Knowledge Heist podcast. We're here again with my boy OD right here.
What's up, Vince? Welcome.
And we got a special guest today, Charles right here, Perales, Hollister Boxing. I can't wait to share this one with you guys. I think he's got a bunch of cool stories to tell, experiences, messages that is going to benefit all the viewers and listeners. So let's get right into it, man. So I've had contact with you for a little bit, man. I got to know just a little bit, and just the talks we had right now. I think you have a lot to share, man. But before that, I want you to introduce yourself, what you do, and you know,
my name is Charles Perales. I'm the coach slash owner of Hollister Boxing. At this point in my time in my career, I'm kind of focused on my my kid, Samuel Torres. He's a 9-time national champion. Right now at his age, he's about 14 years old, and we've been doing this for at least about half his life since he was 7. So things are getting real, and just real focused on him. Hopefully he could be a pro in the next 2 years. Cool, so man. Just kind of dialing in on him.
Definitely, man.
That's pretty much what I'm really focused on right now. I have a couple good people in the gym help me out, a great team. Hopefully you guys can meet some of them.
Definitely, man.
I got a good support cast. My dad helps me out tremendously. We just recently got a van to start traveling, taking Samuel to tournaments.
Just tournaments.
So he's comfortable. He doesn't have to be sitting in the back with his knees cramped and stuff like that. So little by little, I'm fixing up my gym, making it more of a pro style. So just kind of trying to melt it. So by the time he turns about 17, he doesn't have to look anywhere. He can train right here in his backyard, Hollister, California, and hopefully make history here. That's my goal.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I'm really focused on.
Yeah, that's good, bro. And something you said right now about the fact that he gets to train in his backyard in Hollister, man. How does that influence your, like, coaching? And then just the fact that you're out of Hollister, such a small town, where we're characterized as a small town, man.
That's crazy, because just recently we were at the Junior Olympics, and when I'm coming back in town, just to realize that he's on like this big time level, and he's really one of the top kids, probably, you know, in my eyes, top 5 kid in the country for his age, and just to be from this little tiny town, it feels pretty good. You're never satisfied though. You always want
to
keep going and challenge him to like new goals. And I'm always kind of comparing him to guys maybe 10 pounds heavier or 2 years older.
Definitely.
So he stays hungry.
Definitely. Yeah,
so you don't want to raise like no prima donna.
Yeah, of course.
He stays hungry, he's humble. And yeah, that's the cool part about being in Hollister. And in this town for me, now that I'm older, it's like for what I'm doing, it's perfect. So
yeah.
I have other goals too. Eventually when he turns professional,
definitely. You will adapt.
I would
to
like
that.
To have other. Attract other fighters and make this town what Robert Garcia made Oxnard, what Joel Diaz made Indio, California. It's little small towns. I believe Hollister is perfect. We have mountains, we have the sea right here. You can run, you can have a beautiful camp here.
Definitely.
So I love Hollister.
That's exciting, bro.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah.
So from a coaching perspective, man, like I told you before we started that you can tell the way you train Trouble as your son.
Right.
Like from a coaching perspective, if you've boxed before, do you feel like when you train him, do you see yourself in him and kind of want to instill what you want, or did he develop into
his character? He's his own. I like to say that he gets a little style and swag because obviously I taught him how to box and stuff, but he's his own person.
Definitely.
I could say there's stuff he does in the ring where he's like he'll clown the kid and show off and be like a showman and stuff.
Yeah.
And he does a great job. Like, that's him. Like, I've never told him, like, hey, you gotta, do this and you gotta slap your feet before you hit him and all that. That's like all him.
So yeah.
He's kind of has his own identity,
I would say,
his own little swagger.
Yeah.
I help him with it, you know, and I'm there to guide him and
definitely.
Stuff. But other than that, I would like to say that he's kind of got his own way of. You know,
his style,
doing things,
his own
style, his own character.
Okay.
And I try to let him be free with that. Like, I try not to, like say, oh, don't do this, don't do that, as far as who he is. Because when you're in the ring, you're like, your character comes out more.
Yeah, so, adrenaline.
Yeah, everything. You know, if you're going to show off, you're going to show off.
Yeah.
You know? I've never really been the type to show off
in the ring
or clown people, but he will.
Yeah.
But he's a nice kid after. Definitely. He doesn't talk about nobody. He doesn't. He's not a gossiper.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids like to talk about each other.
Pick
and
each
different
other.
Things and, yeah, or, you know, compare each other. He kind of stays out of that. That's the cool thing I like about him. He's just not really focused on anything else.
Yeah, he's not distracted.
Doing his job. Yeah. No, not with a good thing. I'm blessed by that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to ask, bro? I'm sorry, bro.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Is there anything you want to add?
Pretty good.
I think what I was trying to ask is more like, it's true what you said about, you know, that he builds his own character, right? You're not telling him what to do. But was it hard, like, distinguishing that with yourself as a coach? Because I feel like there might be pride sometimes. Like, you want him to do something the right way,
right,
or your way. And if he doesn't do it, he might feel intimidated by his coach. Like, how do you distinguish that coach and that bond you built? You know,
right,
you know what I'm asking?
Right.
Like, how do you build? Because personally, like, when I was playing soccer, there was a point in my life where a coach intimidated me. So he never allowed me to reach my full potential because I was always scared that I wasn't doing his way.
Right.
So how did you transform his platform so he could feel comfortable doing his thing without him feeling like, damn, Coach Perales is going to be mad at me if I don't do it this way?
Right.
Because your pride didn't sneak in. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I think with boxing, it's more the only time he feels that pressure. Like, if he's going to be mad, it's more about practice. Like, when we're in the gym practicing, working out, I'm not the type to have, like, excuses. Mm-hmm. Like, so he feels that pressure for me. I would say the only time, when he's in the ring, it's all about him. And I don't try to put no pressure because I'm proud of him for just being in there.
Yeah.
So it's different. When he's fighting, I don't think he feels pressure like, oh, yeah, I have to do good for coach. Or he wants me to do this or this, that. I think we got an understanding where he's real calm and collective, and it's a thinking man sport.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I trust his mindset.
Okay.
I trust his skills. It's almost time to go and, like, show off. Like, go do your thing.
Yeah,
at this point in his career.
Definitely.
But he does have pressure, though. Back to what your question is on the way he trains,
mm-hmm.
the way he shadow boxes, the way his mannerism in the gym. I'm always on him. Like, there's pressure. Like, I tell him, look, not everybody's going to be willing to train every day, 6 times a week, and have a good attitude.
Yeah,
I say, if you love what you're doing, you have a good attitude. Just like he's a great barber. He can't go into the barbershop like, you know, fuck, I don't want to do this shit today. Then you're in the wrong
business.
You're
not going to deliver the right product.
And I tell him a lot. I tell him, if you want people to scream your name and you want all this stuff, this success with boxing, you owe boxing. The boxing doesn't owe you nothing.
Definitely.
You owe the dedication and the time and to me, it's train with passionate. There's so many boxers, they just do it and they're proud of themselves. Like, they do the rounds and they do this, they do that, and they just want to pat on the back. But, like, do it with passion. Do it with passion.
Okay.
That's pretty much just pressure.
Yeah.
Just work with passion.
Definitely, man.
So, like, we're jumping rope. Don't just do doubles. Challenge yourself every day instead of just, oh, I did two.
So that's what you instill in
him. I think a lot of boxers, instead of, like, you know, when it's time for them to jump rope or do that, they just jump rope. They're not, like, pushing themselves to your ability, doing the things.
Definitely.
And blah, 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 trying to be the best at something. So that's kind of where I pressure them. I tell them, you need to get better at the speed bag. I need you to do it better. So there's pressure there.
Yeah, of course.
I need you to do better pull-ups. Pressure there. So it's always pressure in the training. But in the performance, from there being so much pressure in the training, it's just kind of like, go do your thing, man.
Yeah, definitely.
The work's done in the gym.
Definitely. Did you see, at one point, him kind of just doing that on his own, kind of challenging himself?
Or was
Yeah.
There's always things. Yeah, there's times where just trial and error in anything.
Yeah.
So there's times where he's like, you know, he's got hit a couple times in sparring where he's like, I didn't like this. You know, his lip got busted or something. And he'll get mad at himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, it's okay, champ. The kid's real, real good. He's best in the country. You're sparring him.
Definitely.
You gave it to him too. He get mad. Like,
yeah.
He don't like that stuff.
He
don't want to bleed nowhere, nothing. So
he
got a lot of zone stuff too, which is cool.
Yeah, dude.
And that's through the years and stuff. So
you've been training him since he was seven?
Seven, yeah.
And now he's 14, right?
He's 14.
So, I mean, you've seen him grow up from, like, you know, his young years up until his teenage years.
Yeah.
I want you to talk a little bit about that from a coach perspective, because I feel like working with a young kid like that, their mindset might be different, you know. But him being in the boxing, you know, being here, having a good environment as a coach, I bet your whole team and the whole camp is just very positive in a way where he feels happy here.
Yeah.
You know, at any point did you feel like, man, dude, like, this might not work out, or there was something you saw in him as a kid, like, maybe he needs to go be a kid?
Right.
Do you know what I'm asking? Or
No, because with him, it was more like, this is his time to shine.
Yeah.
In here, and you know, some kids,
he's grinding when everyone else is.
Yeah, and there's some kids that might not be like myself. I mean, I had to keep grades and stuff for sports.
Yeah.
But you're not too enthused in school, so when you go to school, you're just a regular person. And I think when he comes in the gym, he like feels like, this is my time to shine.
Yeah.
You know? So he's always felt pretty comfortable, you know, coming to the gym. Like, I never got like the had to have a deep down talk with him, like, hey man, you need to come to the gym,
yeah,
this and that. But then it goes along with the way, maybe I always say too, is I don't live with him, so you know, some dads they're on him all the time, and they're grinding. So what I tell people, I mean, just to be completely honest, it's like having a little puppy, you show him the love, and then he go back home, relax, and he's looking for the love. So I'm always bringing him here, giving him the love, talking to him, mentoring him, and then I give him some game for about 3 hours out the day. And I take him back to, you know, to where he goes, and then boom, boom. We spend a lot of time outside the gym too.
Don't
get me wrong, like, we do stuff, but it just, I think that's been his, like where he's comfortable. It's cool. And I talk to him too, like,
of course.
Yeah, like he's like my best friend. So like, there's certain things that like I'll tell him, hey, we're gonna keep it light today.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the gym.
Yeah, you build that relationship with him.
Yeah, how your body feels. Now that he's getting older too, it's a lot better. Because it's like just having an adult with you, like, how you feel? Okay, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that. And there's times too where he's pushed me, where I had him spar with a professional, and I told him, look, I don't like the way, you know, the guy's hitting him pretty hard, and I'm kind of thinking, okay, you're pushing him too much. You know, like, he's 22 years old, he's 14.
Yeah.
They're the same weight, but damn, he's already like 3-0 with 3 knockouts. This other kid I'm sparring, and I tell him, nah, man, let's just go 5 rounds, and that's good. So I'm seeing some stuff I didn't really like seeing, and he's like, nah, we came here to do 8.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to do 8. I'm like, all right, champ, let's do 8.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I even tell myself, you get soft too, like,
you kind
of, you care about
that's,
him,
that's,
you know,
cool,
getting
man.
Hit and stuff, so.
Yeah, but he's hungry,
yeah, so I'm blessed out.
Definitely,
hungry,
man. I guess being in the boxing industry for a long time, man, when you go to tournaments, do you feel like that's one of the best, the factor meaning like that bond you have with your boxer?
Right.
When you go out to different tournaments, do you ever observe other coaches, how they are with their boxers, and say like, maybe, I don't want to say like, get cocky or anything, but analyze, I'm like, I think one of their weaknesses is the fact that they don't have a bond.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good bonds out there.
I'm talking like general.
But no,
you know,
doubt.
Not,
yeah, there's a lot of coaches that kind of do it more of a like traveling team kind of type thing.
Mm.
And it changes. You know, that'd be like me having like 7 boxers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because they're
changes,
not focused,
you know,
on one.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah. So it's like with me and him, I just bring him, you know.
Yeah.
So it is different. And then you do see teams that are pretty strong too. You meet a couple of father sons, or just a coach and a kid. So yeah, there's strong ones. I'm more of a type of person, like, you know, I like that one-on-one bond, like what you're saying. That is a good point. But I don't knock other people that have, like, I know guys in the inner cities, and they're from like Cincinnati and stuff, and they'll have like 6 kids, and they're all good, and they all
win.
So props to them too.
Definitely,
you know?
It's
yeah.
You find your own
so
way.
I mean, that would be dope to do that, but we don't you know.
It's a lot of time and energy too.
But I tell you what, not to get off the subject, what I would like to do is I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but eventually start like a kids thing in here where there's no pressure on kids. Like, say like a young kid, and do what if I find another trouble, another Samuel Torres
through,
you know,
that process.
I want to help out Hollister a little bit more. I just haven't had time because I have these little kids I watch. I'm a full-time dad, so eventually I would like to have a kids class where I can just kind of, I like you, you have talent, come on, and then have them kind of train with Trouble and start something
type of like an academy type
thing
where you filter it.
I would like to do that one day,
just
kind of give back to the community a little bit.
Definitely.
But at this point I just been like, block everybody out, just Trouble. It's a little bit financially hard, you know, because you're like not running classes. You just rely on clients and stuff one-on-one. But it's worth it in the long run for me. Because when I come to the gym, I only worry about him. I don't have to worry about nobody else.
What you're saying right there, as I see it, like a, I don't want to say an investment, like he's your investment. But in a way it's going to help you out.
It's going to
help. Your ultimate vision. And you're going to bring him along with you.
Yes.
Which is going to benefit him in a way too.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's, like you said, it's like that, but we kind of both made that bond. Like, hey, we want to do this or we don't want to do this. Like, we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. You know, I'm going to go all in with you, and you're going to go all in with me. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And each person has their sacrifice. I mean, you're like right now you said you're a full-time dad. You're sacrificing that time. You're sacrificing. I think you said something really important right now. You're not working with the clients too much because the financial part is hard because you're working with trouble.
Yeah.
But that's what OD was saying, that's your investment. You're willing to sacrifice that because you know in the long run.
And he's pretty smart too because while I was at that Junior Olympics, I had this Puerto Rican family there from Connecticut. And they were like, hey, the parents were telling me they were having somebody translate. Their kids are like really good. They're high level. They both won gold medals. And they were like, we've been watching you for a while as a coach. We want to come down and do a camp where you're from. So I showed them the gym. They're like, oh, man, I told you guys to stay up in my loft. They're like, we're not picky at all. My kid's going to be going pro soon with top rank. And I've been watching you. I want you to be a coach. So it's kind of like that thing I was saying to track fighters one day here. Well, it's good, but at the same time, you have your kid. I have trouble, Sam, and he's looking at me like, well, what you going to do? Show them all the stuff that we're doing? You going to give them the game? So, hey, it gets...
Yeah, dude. You know? That's so interesting, man.
Yeah.
He notices those things, and he'll bring it up to you like, hey, what's up, man?
He didn't have that. He didn't necessarily tell me, but they told me that he was not a fan of that idea.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, I respect it too. So
definitely,
I'm like, okay, well, talk to you guys later. Hopefully, you know. Yeah.
Dude, that's interesting, man.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But maybe it just is, like I said, maybe it's just because it's always been me and him.
Yeah, you and him.
And we came up, like, honestly, I'm not going to lie. A lot of coaches will be like, oh, it's me. And I learned, I know everything, and I'm the guru and stuff. But to be honest with you, bro, like, He helped. We grew together, so we kind of learned together. I'm not even gonna like. Yeah. We learned. Like when I started off, I wasn't as good as I am. He helped me get good. I helped him get good.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Definitely. Like, no, dedication, it makes sense, dude. Because
like I grew as a coach. Like we grew together. I guess you can say to give him props too. Like he helped me grow, and I helped him grow. Like,
definitely.
Bro. Yeah, because I'm sure there's gonna be times where like, because I did a little bit of boxing.
Yeah.
And like I know there's times where you don't want to go, but you're like, no, I have to hit it. And for example, if you don't want to come to the gym, because I know you have a family.
Yeah.
You have your family and you want to dedicate a little bit of time to them. So if he calls you up and tells you, hey, what's up, coach? Are we going to go?
Yeah.
So it pushes you.
Yeah.
And then you know you have to respond.
Yes, sir.
In a way. A mutual response, you know, for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he knows. I'm like, I always tell him, I'm in the gym regardless every day.
You can find me.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, he knows. But yeah, like you're saying, though, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, I think it's been some good stuff so far. We're going to take a little break. I like the conversation. There's a lot of different insights, different messages you could pull out. But we're going to continue this after the break, and we'll be right back with Charles.
All right.
All right, man. So we're back from our short little break. I think Charles got a lot more stuff to talk about. I'm going to let OD transition to that. So let's get back to it.
So, Charles, before the break, we heard a little bit about who you are as a coach, who Trouble is.
Yeah.
A little bit of the... ups and downs, and just overall you as a coach and Trouble as a boxer. Now, for the viewers that are watching this, I'm based out of Hollister, when they see you on the street and they're like, hey, there goes that coach.
Yeah.
I want to know, and for them to know, who you are outside of being a coach. Like, how'd you come up? Where are you from? Do you have kids? Just you in general.
Right. Well, basically with me, I was born and I was pretty much born and raised here in the Hollister. Was here ever since I was 2 years old. Went to school out here. My first love was boxing when I was a little tiny kid. My dad used to hold the mitts for me, and I just had these little Sugar Ray boxing gloves. So my dad was one of those guys, he didn't like play sports as a kid. Mm-hmm. So all he did was fight and box.
Yeah,
so it was in my family. And my uncle used to box, so he always, that's all he knew. So he always, that's all he showed me was pop, 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 jab, 1-2. But of course, as a kid, when you get a little older and you go to school, you know, I'm in school, I realize I'm tall, taller than everybody. So I started playing basketball. And basketball was my, was like, man, once you start playing on the team sports and everything changes, and I was pretty good at it, not to brag or anything, but I was all right at it. And I started, you know, becoming pretty known with basketball. And I think I went to the boxing gym in eighth grade for about a, I was working out with a kid. Actually, that's crazy too. I was working out with a kid named Vincent Munoz. That was a big time champion for Zeke Lopez, Bulldog Boxing. And everybody back in the day, he was kind of like hot trouble with everybody talking about, oh, he's going to Junior Olympics, this and that. So I had trained with him, did a little sparring with him. I recently bumped into him at the Junior Olympics. He moved to Visalia, and he took his daughter to the Junior Olympics with a Visalia team.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, Vince, that's you. And I introduced him to Trouble. So two Hollister guys met. But going back to me, I did that. And then my dad had put me in a lot of martial arts. That's probably
what
a lot of
people
don't know about me. Yeah, yeah, I did a lot of martial arts. I competed a lot. I won a lot of stuff. So. I just don't talk about it too much.
Yeah. You see, like, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't know that. Yeah. I knew you played ball.
Yeah, I did martial arts for a while. From 7 years old to, I think I got about 13. And I was like, it just was, I didn't like it no more. I kind of outgrew it. And then that was when I started working out with Zeke a little bit. He showed me a lot of fundamentals, a lot of drills.
As he's still coaching, right?
Still coaching.
Yeah.
Great dude. Sometimes people are always trying to put two into it. I'm like, man, that's all love. I love Zeke. He showed me a lot of stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the
stuff.
Thing, bro.
People
try to instigate, you know?
Yeah. No, like, nothing but love for him. He's a great coach, too. Fundamentals, solid. Like, I like the way he teaches his fundamentals. I learned a lot from him. And obviously, you know, metamorphosed into my own style. But
yeah.
Definitely more props to him. He showed me a lot of great stuff. And then, like, basically, I did karate all the way till I was about 13, from 7 to 13. And I won tournaments and all kinds of stuff. And then I stopped doing that. Really got focused with basketball. Played high school. I moved away from town in high school. I went to Gilroy High. Then I went to Fresno. Won a state championship for basketball. Actually, I just moved out with a coach. I'm teaching him boxing. He's kind of helping Sammy with strength training and his athletic ability. But little by little, I'm bringing him into the boxing world. And his name is Deshaun. So I played basketball with him. And we won a state title together. And then from there, I just went to college. And when I go to junior college for 2 years, then I went to New Jersey and played at a Ramapo University. It was a Division II. It was a pretty good school. Played 2 years there. And played a little bit in Greece.
Mm-hmm. You know,
played in Mexico, a little professional.
Overseas.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like my dream to make money playing basketball. I made a little bit of money, but not enough to, like, you know, it was hard for me
to go pro
because, to be honest with you, I would get on a team and then about like 2 weeks of playing with the team, then I'd be like, oh, we found somebody else. Because there's always somebody bigger and taller and more athletic, right? So.
I want to ask something about that, bro, because right now you just said it was your dream.
Yeah, that was my dream.
Now I feel like, you know, I know you as a boxing coach, Hollister Boxing, right?
Right.
But I want to talk about that. I saw something the other day. You know who Mother Teresa is? She was just a really big, she was just like a healer, man. She was just like a mother to everyone,
right? I thought I heard
So she was a teacher, bro. Originally, she was a teacher. One day she went in to go do her teaching job. She saw some orphans on the side. And it's like, when I come back, I'm going to feed you guys, right? She came out, fed them. The next day, more orphans, fed them. She became Mother Teresa. She left the teaching job to become Mother Teresa. She was a mom of everyone. Bro.
Right, right.
So right now, you said she was going down her path, was teaching. She found something, dude, her calling, right?
Right.
So you were going down your path. Your dream was basketball. You're playing
Greece,
Mexico.
Yeah, my vision,
But then your calling was to, this was meant to happen, to coach Trouble.
Well, it's kind of funny, too, because like when I did basketball, and I was doing that. Everybody knew me, especially in Hollister, for all that's to do to play basketball a lot. And then when I started coaching boxing, I realized, like, you know, this career is taking me so far, but I'm always, like, trying to get on a team, trying out, make a little money. And, like, it wasn't I didn't see the bright future in it too much anymore. And one thing about me, I always stuck in a boxing gym wherever I went. I went to Jersey, I would always join a gym, work out, do some sparring. So I always kind of kept it a part of me. And I knew I was pretty good at it. You know, like I knew I had, like, I don't know, I always felt like this is easy for me. Not easy, boxing's not easy, but just the technique wise, I just felt like came natural. Like I loved it, you know, and it was like I always felt comfortable going to a gym. I knew if I went to a boxing gym, a coach would be like, "Oh, you boxed before, you know, you did some type of shit." So, it worked out. It was cool. And anyway, so I came back home pretty much in 2009, 2010. I played for an ABA team in Monterey, and then after that, I had my first baby, which she's 8 years old now, and that's when I got my vision for to have the gym. Mm-hmm. Well, before she was born,
definitely.
You know, I started building this gym. I talked to my dad, and of course my dad, like I told you guys, all he cared about was fighting.
Yeah.
You know, like no basketball, nothing. He probably went to like two of my games my whole life.
Oh, damn.
So, bro. But I mean like, because he supported me, but it was just like, this is real to him.
Yeah.
So when I told him I wanted to open a gym, he had my back, and he was like, all right. So he actually built this gym for me. I didn't.
You know?
And then a lot of people thought I was crazy at first. I'm not going to lie.
Definitely, bro.
I'm like, man. So my message to everybody, if people don't see your vision, just keep going. Keep going. Because I had people laugh at me when I first started. They're like, what are you about to coach boxing? What are you going through a freaking...
You're crazy, bro.
You're going through some crisis or something? Like, how are you going to do that? Either my mom was like, well, you're going to coach boxing. Like, I know you like it, but, you know, you're going to coach it now? Like, I thought you were going to be basketball or something. I'm like, but I didn't really... That wasn't in my heart.
It wasn't your calling, bro. It wasn't
your... Yeah, and one thing led to another. And then me and Sam met, Samuel, and that was it. He asked me to be his godfather. I took that real serious. Wow. So we went to that, you know, I'll go to the church thing.
Yeah,
I became his godfather, and that was kind of cool. I think, honestly, it's probably from the man upstairs where everything came together.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. Yeah. Whether it's the man upstairs, bro, and, you know, there's people that are non-religious.
Yeah.
The universe, you know?
Yeah.
Just aligned it together, you know?
Right.
And like I said, it was... You were meant to go to Greece and Mexico, play for a bit, but then it was also your calling to be like, hey, Dad, I want to build this gym.
Right.
And then what happened, you know, Samuel hit his point, like,
right.
Boom, class, the universe made it happen.
And then in all my experience with ball, too, like dealing with coaches, men, everything, it's helped me with boxing, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mentoring him through things and stuff like that. And like I said, me and him grew together. A lot of times people... We'll pick up that, like, a lot of coaches, they already kind of been through, I don't know if this makes sense, the process of what I went through with mm-hmm. Sammy, and then do it again with somebody.
Yeah.
See, with me, we went through it together, like, all the way.
First
like,
time.
So his first time at the Silver Gloves, my first time at the Silver Gloves.
Yeah.
His first time in Junior Olympics was my first time at Junior Olympics. So that's when I say we grew together. It's pretty cool we did,
definitely.
You know? Yeah. So if I ended up inheriting another kid and got somebody else and, you know, a kid that I could take, which I wouldn't mind having a kid to go travel, you know, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot.
Dude.
But I would know the ropes, you know. I'm a lot better than I was when he started. So me and him always kind of joke about that, too. Like if somebody were to come to me, like a good, really good 9-year-old, he'd be in good hands. Like somebody just moved out here and they were, like, really good at boxing. Because I know what I'm doing now.
Of course.
You know? You have to go through trial and error with anything. So.
Yeah. You want to ask me about that?
No, no. I like where he's going. And so far, I like what he said. You know, so for other people that are watching this, since you were doing karate, which I didn't know, you did a little bit of basketball. And leading up to you opening up your own gym.
Yeah.
For the people that are watching this, any message you would like to send to them right now, like, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I want to do this. But then they're not good.
No doubt.
They just want to do it. But what I've heard and what somebody told me was like, do something that people tell you you're good at.
Right.
Why? Because people tend to see the good in you and you don't see it sometimes.
Yeah.
They used to tell me I was a good barber, but I didn't see it. I seen that as a little side hustle and that was it.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be. Begged me to become a barber.
Right.
But I didn't want to.
It's crazy,
so now did anybody ever influence you or did anybody ever push you?
I think it was more like my dad, a couple of friends that would watch me and they would tell me, what's wrong with you? Like, you got talent in this. You should, you know, think about doing it. But I always kind of like didn't like believe in myself all the way till I started, you know.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it takes yourself to believe in it And I think once I was ready to open my gym, that was when I pretty much was fully committed to myself. Like, okay, you're going to do this. You can work.
Yeah.
Do it. Focus. Concentrate. And what kept me hungry and still does, like, is like, because I've talked to people where they've been in boxing. For instance, like even Robert Guerrero, who's my age. Well, when I was doing all that basketball stuff, he was in the boxing world. So it makes me hungry, like, okay, you need to catch up. You need to catch up. That's why I'm always in here. Like, you need to catch up. I won't tell myself, oh, you're too old. Just stop working out. Get better. Get better. Try to work on technique. Get better. Because I feel like I owe the sport. If I want something to happen, I still need to put in my dues. Like, I'm hungry.
You're paying your dues,
yeah,
man.
I'm hungry. Yeah, because while I was doing certain things, there was still people were doing
you
this.
You know the process of
by any means, I don't feel like I'm really, really super good, or I think I got a long way to go. You know?
No, definitely. Yeah. You feel like you barely started almost?
Yeah. Yeah, I still got things. I got the pro circuit to open up. I got a lot of stuff I want to do. And but don't get me wrong, I have people tell me and influence me now, like, hey, you got it, like, you could do this, you're good. I've had a coach from Mayweather's camp. He told me he wanted me to come out and start working with his fighters and get some experience. I told him while I was at the Junior Olympics, like, hey man, I want to get a little experience before Trouble turns pro, Samuel turns pro. Like, I need that. I don't want to be my first fight in the pros and his first fight in the pros. I want to have a little experience. That's kind of like the goal, like the soon-to-be goal, maybe in the next year.
Definitely, bro. That's huge, man.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think that's one of the things that's going to get you where you want to get, because you're hungry and you're willing to learn. A lot of people think, like, for example, 7 years, right? You've been pretty much solid 7 years. Eight years. Yeah. You've been solid. And now you're getting to a point where people tell you're good. You know you're good. You have to know you're good.
Yeah.
It's not being cocky. It's just being aware.
This is the same thing. What you're aware.
And I like that. So now at this point, do you feel like, has there ever been a point where it got to you where you're like, damn, like, and that's good. I like that because when you're willing to learn, willing to,
I think maybe, you know, if I start getting a little bit of money, you guys might be like, "Where's Charles at?" I don't know where he's at. That's my main thing too. Is stay focused.
Yeah. And by the way, how'd you meet Trouble?
He just came in. Actually, it's kind of weird because he came in, and I was in that office, and all I heard was dot dot dot. Open the door. His mom's right there, and she's like, "Hey, I want to sign up my boys." I just see this kid with, like, gold teeth. No, the kid's got...
Yeah,
all kinds of them.
Oh, he was young.
Wild. Yeah, he was wild, bro. And then his little brother's fat. He was like, they're just, like, going crazy. They're good kids, though. I'm not back.
No, definitely.
They just looked all, like, wild.
What was your first impression?
You want them to come? She was like, yeah, I want to sign them up. Oh, all right. Well, they can come 2 times a week, Friday and Saturday. That's it. And she's like, all right, cool. She paid, and then I was like, oh, you know what? I want to get his gloves. Because if I don't buy them now, I'm not going to buy them.
Okay, cool.
Two pairs? Two pairs. Okay, cool. Bam, boom. So like that, and then they're running around, looking around, their face open. I was like, geez, I don't know what I'm going to do with this shit. And she bought him 2 pair of gloves, bought him his membership. He showed up Friday. I think, like, the second one, he always reminds me, I made him sit standing in a corner because he was messing around with his brother the whole time. Like, go stand in that corner. You go stand in that corner. Don't move till I tell you to move. I don't remember doing that, but he swears I did that.
That's funny, dude.
Yeah. So we came a long way, and then, like, I just started noticing he had a little fire in him. Just like a movie, I guess, you start seeing this kid with, like, something driven in him. There's, I started seeing the hunger. For instance, you'd have like 3 other kids. Okay, let's see who can do the most push-ups, and he'll just do it till the adult would pass out.
Yeah.
So I started seeing. I said, "Man, this kid got a lot of like natural ability." And then I think my dad kind of spotted it the first time, where he was like, "Man, that kid's special." I was having him do this drill where they're just on their toes, jabbing and moving, jab like that on their toes, and throwing the 1-2 in between it, back and forth on their toes, pa 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 pa. And there was 2 adults by him. They kept losing the rhythm, stopping, and, you know, going flat-footed, trouble the whole time. For like a half hour. Because I was working hard when I was young, you know, like half hour straight with the mitts. And, you know, my dad told me, that kid's not normal. Like, you don't do that when you're 7 years old. He just stayed focused. And then from there, He asked me to be his godfather, like I told you guys earlier. And then we just, I actually, it sounds fake, but I'm not lying. I brought him into the office one time when he was like, I think he was about to turn 8.
Yeah.
I said, look, you really want to do this? Because I could tell you he needed somebody to guide him.
Yeah.
Father figure type thing. I says, I can make you a champion. If you really want to do it, we could do it together. I'll help you. And he just said, yeah.
Wow.
And then from there, we just kept working.
That's crazy, man. You had like an adult conversation with him. Like, yeah, you want this. At 8 years old.
We looked at each other. I told him, you want to do this? Because I could tell, like, he was from the gut. You know, it was either nothing or nothing. You know,
yeah,
so I
said, yeah.
What you want to do?
And he made that decision.
And I was hungry.
Yeah.
By the way, I was trying to make everybody a boxer in town. Everybody. I had guys that were, you know, little boxers. Dude, I was trying to make everybody a boxer. Everybody. I was hungry. Nobody would really follow through for me. I just had a bunch of kids in high school. They would come and just, it was a mess. Like, I couldn't get anybody to box for me. It was horrible. And then I ended up having a couple kids that were pretty good, and they competed for me and they won. But, like, nobody, like, super serious. And then I grabbed him and he fell for it. He bought into the system. Bro. He's the only one that I've ever really had buy into the system.
And that's good, bro.
I had an opportunity to train Eloy Perez. He was out of Salinas. He fought for a world title.
Definitely, yeah.
But he quit by the time it was time to go fight, you know. But he was big name, and he couldn't keep up. Like, the kid, a lot of people don't keep up with it. Like, he's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
So it's paying off. I see now the dedication, the sacrifice, because there would be times where he'd be by himself, and I'll watch over him. Like, okay, here, you stay with me, or you want to stay with me around here, and I'll pick him up, feed him. And he'd be by himself all summer long. So things like that, the sacrifice.
Yeah, the sacrifice, bro.
I think it's starting to pay off for him now. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
When he fight his last two fights, he stopped both kids. Yeah. So that's why I know something's changing.
Yeah.
Like, you're stopping them. Yeah. It's hard to stop people in amateur. Yeah,
definitely.
You know? So the referee's like, no more. I don't want to see this anymore. So I'm like, okay, this kid's growing up.
Definitely.
So yeah, it's cool. It's been a pleasure. It's been super long journey, crazy ups and downs that he's lost sometimes. You know, we traveled, trial and error.
Definitely.
But, like, my message is stay focused, everybody. Stay focused. Try to be the best you can be in what you said, what people feel.
Yeah,
if somebody's telling you you're good at something, you got to attack that. Right,
capitalize
then.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. I love it, man. I wish we had more time to keep talking, bro, but that means we're going to have a second opportunity to talk to you, bro.
Right on, man.
Talk to more people on your side, on your camp, bro. I know you got a team.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to Trouble, you know, see what he has to say.
That'd be good.
But, dude, honestly, it's one of those things where those conversations, you're just always trying to process what the other person is saying, man. I think
we're trying to cramp everything. And
yeah, dude, there's not enough time, bro.
Yeah,
because
we talking good.
Yeah, but I appreciate you being here, bro, and allowing us to, you know, be here in the gym.
Anytime.
Kind of pick your brain, bro.
You guys ever want to work out? The gym's
hell
right.
Yeah, bro.
You know?
I appreciate you sharing.
Not too many people in here, but you guys can
definitely,
bro.
Yeah, hell yeah, bro. But I appreciate you just allowing us to, you know, perform this heist on your
cool,
your
man.
Mental, bro, and learn a little bit about yourself. What motivated you? What was like the fire? You know.
Yeah.
And I think I learned a lot myself, bro. When I go edit this video, what I tend to do is always look back at it like, dude. Let me take something out from here.
Right.
And then, you know, put it in
we all learn from each other.
Yeah, dude. So that's the
goal.
That's
the thing I will
bro.
Say, too, that I've completely learned from all types of different coaches. YouTube's been my favorite.
Yeah.
Know,
oh, weapon. Yeah. Free education right
Yeah,
there,
you
man.
Know, you got to pick up on different drills from different people and stuff. So.
Yeah. So there you have it, man. The third heist. Once again, I appreciate Charles's time. OD, as always. That's our goal, is sharing people's experiences and lives, and then you guys taking the knowledge nuggets and you guys put it into your life and apply it. So there you have it, guys. Once again,
all
thank
right.
you, Charles. I appreciate
all
it, bro.
Right.
Yeah, thank you, bro.